الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today we'll just have a very short bayan and lecture about the current contemporary world situation in relation to coronavirus. What we have to understand, I just want to mention four or five things about this in terms of how we should deal with this situation as a believer. There is an ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وبشر الصابرين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test every single one of you, every single one of us, من الخوف with fear, والجوع with hunger, ونقص من الأموال by taking away some of our property, some of our wealth, والأنفس maybe we might become sick, we might fall sick, we might lose some close family members of ours. والثمرات, and if there is a person who has some crops or fields, they might lose their summer, they might lose their provision, they might lose those fields and crops. This is dunya, the nature of dunya, and this is our test here. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ, Allah says that certainly, surely, undoubtedly, we are going to test every single person with these things. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is khawfi, that we are going to test you with khawf, with fear. And that is something which we are seeing around us, that everywhere there is panic, people are in a state of fear, state of fright. The world economy is collapsing, and a lot of things are happening. There is hysteria, people can see that panic in so many different aspects. However, the teaching of the Deen of Islam is that everything is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a believer, we have alhamdulillah this ni'mat of iman, this taluq and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why there is no need to panic. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of testing. And hence a person is not supposed to lose their very iman in such states, in such times. A person is supposed to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling everything, and that the nature of life is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us in different ways. And what we have to do in such situations is that we have to maintain our taluq with Allah. We have to improve our relationship with Allah. We have to improve our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to strengthen that relationship. And that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be our source. It's going to be our sanctuary, a refuge, our anchor in these times. That person who doesn't have taluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their gaze will always be fixed upon creation. They'll always be looking at this and this and this and that. This thing happened and that thing happened. And such a person will naturally be frustrated, will naturally be in a state of panic, fright, and terror. However, for a believer, for a person whose gaze is fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the taluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a beautiful sanctuary for us. There's no need to panic when a person has that taluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first point to remember, that we need to in such times improve and strengthen our taluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that everything is happening by the will of Allah. We have to smooth and fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, the Sharia also teaches us that we should take care and take safe precautionary measures. That's also important and necessary. It's part of the Sharia that in such times a person at the level of asbab, because this dunya is darul asbab, it's a place which operates on causes and effects, and hence at the level of asbab we're supposed to take certain steps and measures. Notwithstanding the fact that musabbibul asbab is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind everything. Our iman is on Allah, tawakkul is on Allah, reliance is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to work on strengthening our taluq with Allah. But having said that, at the same time, the Sharia also teaches us that at the level of asbab, we also make use of certain hifazati tadabir, certain safety measures, precautionary measures. This is not khilaf, this is not in any way against the tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against relying on Allah. Rather, this is part and parcel of our Sharia, and the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that we should make use of certain safety precautions. So for example, at the Battle of Uhud, the Sahaba Ikram, they were wearing one layer of armor, and the Prophet ﷺ was wearing two layers of armor. And wearing two layers of armor was not against tawakkul of the Prophet ﷺ. Who can say that the Prophet ﷺ did not have tawakkul or reliance on Allah? Rather, the Prophet ﷺ had complete, utter, absolute, the greatest and perfect reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that we are living in this world, and this world is Darul Asbab, which means that we have to use precaution and safety measures and keep it at the level of Asbab. We have to keep it at the level of Asbab, but we have to make use of them. And that's why in one very famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said when there was that if there is ever a plague or ta'un or such a waba that spreads, a disease that spreads in a particular area, then people who are inside that area, they should not leave that area. And people who are outside, they should not enter such an area. This is again a teaching in the Sharia that tells us that we are supposed to make use of certain safety precautions. So depending on where a person is living, your government, your state, whatever governmental institutions or health organizations, the advisory, health advisory that they are promulgating and spreading, it behooves and befits us that we should follow those guidelines. We should follow those guidelines and use those safety measures in our situations. This is not against the Sharia. In fact, this is completely in line with the Sharia. That if there are certain safety precautions that the government wants us to take, and we can maintain our faraiz and wajibat, so we maintaining our faraiz and wajibat, we can take those safety precautions, safety measures, and it's okay. It's commendable and encouraged in the Sharia that a person then follows the dictates of the injunctions that are given by the government, as long as we are able to continue with our faraiz and wajibat. So these safety measures also of the same level, that they're simply about our health and about the health of other people, and they don't impinge on our wajibat or faraiz, and hence we should try to incorporate and inculcate these safety measures in our daily life as much as possible. This is not khilaf or tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, this is also a time for reflection, a time that we should do some tafakkur, some muhasabah of our life individually and also collectively as an ummah and collectively as insaniyat, that where are we heading? Why are these things happening? And I want to share with you one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, this is mentioned in Ibn Majah. And I want you to listen to this hadith very carefully, because this hadith opens up a lot of deep realities about the world that we are living in. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this hadith. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he turned to us and said that, O Muhajirun, Ya Ma'ashir al-Muhajirin, there are five things with which you will be tested. There will be five things with which you will be tested, and I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest you live to see them. I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest you live to see them. And then the Prophet mentions five things. First, لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاهِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطُّ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُ بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونُ وَالْأَوْجَعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَدَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ الَّذِينَ مَدَوْا. That immorality or fahisha, vulgarity, immorality, open sins, this immorality never appears among a people to such an extent that they begin to commit it openly. And when they begin to commit this immorality openly, plagues and diseases, ta'un wal awja, plagues and diseases, those diseases that were never known among the predecessors, will spread among them. This is the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a hadith, that when immorality will spread, this fahashi will spread, it will spread to such an extent that people will begin to commit this openly. And when that becomes the state of humanity, then plagues and diseases will become widespread. Those plagues and those diseases which were never known among the predecessors. And this is, there are four other things that are mentioned, but I just want to mention this first thing, because this is something for us to think about. That when we leave the world that we are living in, where we see how we have lost this blessing of haya, we are living in times when there is no haya. We're living in times when this haya has been taken away from us, and in some cases we have voluntarily left this haya. Haya is our modesty, our chastity, our shyness, our dignity, our self-respect, our honor. And when we lose this haya, when a person begins to practice these sins openly, right, these sins become open, then the consequences that such disease and plagues, that the likes of which were never heard of, they will become widespread. This is an usul in our deen, that when a person commits an individual sin, there will be a consequence for that sin. And when collectively humanity or society, they commit a societal evil, then again that same principle applies, that there are going to be social consequences for that. This applies at an individual level. Allah says, "Ma asabakum min musibatin, fabima kasabat aydikum." That whatever comes to you as a musiba, it's something which you yourself have earned because of your own hands. You did something, and because of that, there is a musiba. And this same principle also applies at a societal level. Then, when society as a collective unit, when they leave this deen of fitrat, Islam is a deen of fitra. Islam is a way that teaches us humanity how to lead a beautiful life, a most noble way of living. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was the uswatun hasana. It's the most noble way of living. And part of that sunnah was haya. Part of that iman was haya. Haya is part and parcel of our iman. And in this modern enlightened time that we are living in, when we are apparently taught, or this haya or shyness is said to be not such a good thing. There's a sahabi who came, was telling his brother that you should not be so shy. You should be a bit more bold, more outgoing. And the Prophet ﷺ heard him, and he stopped them. And he addressed both the brother sahaba, and he said that al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. That haya will not bring anything but khair. And this can have two meanings. That haya, everything about haya is khair, and that all of khair is to be found in haya. And these days, due to advertisements, magazines, TVs, and now openly, in some parts of the world, and even in Muslim countries, you have this haya and you have these open vulgar sins being done, and since these are being done openly, we're being blasted with images, with slogans, with banners, with postcards, with the internets, with the magazines. All of this is meant to eradicate our haya, and that's what we are losing. We are becoming desensitized. It's desensitizing our spiritual heart. And when this is happening collectively, then this is the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that such things are becoming common. These diseases that were never known among the predecessors are spreading. So in such a zamana, we should think about these diseases that we are doing individually and also collectively, and this is a moment to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, seek istighfar, make istighfar, tawbah, istighfar, repentance, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our sins, and especially for this sin that we have lost this haya, for this sin that we are engaged in these immoral activities, that we are engaged in these vulgar activities, that we are engaged in this fahisha, we are spreading this fahisha, we are part of this. And we make tawbah, Ya Allah, of all such sins specially. We make tawbah for all these sins of that are desensitizing us to haya. And that's something which is very important for us, that in this day, in this time, in this age, in this zamana, we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, in istighfar. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These sins, they can come as a punishment because of our sins. Those who are not following the commands of Allah, sometimes these sins, these azab or these punishments, that they come as a punishment. These diseases, they come as a punishment. And sometimes in the wisdom and the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also come as a sign. They also come as a sign whereby a person can reflect over why this is happening. And this can lead us back towards Allah. Person realizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that sense, it can become a blessing and a mercy. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that this can become a mercy and a rahmah for the believer, a blessing for the believers. It becomes a blessing for the believers if we are able to turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes a purification for the believer. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would enter a home of a sick person, he would visit that person and he would say, that la ba'asa tahuran insha'Allah. No harm. This is purification if Allah wills. La ba'asa tahuran insha'Allah. No harm. It is purification if Allah wills. And the Prophet also said that the example of a believer when he is afflicted by illness or fever is that of a piece of iron placed in fire. And that fire, it removes the defects of that iron. The defects of the iron, they vanish, and only the good remains. And that's what happens, that sometimes these diseases, they come, but for the believer, they come as a mercy, they come as a purification. They remove the sin, the marks of sin, the taints of sin, the dhabbas of sin go away. And the Prophet also said, he also advised and counseled, that you should visit the sick. You should visit the sick, follow funeral processions, and remind yourself of the next life. Remind yourself of the next life. No calamity it befalls a Muslim except that Allah removes sins from them because of those sins. In fact, even if a thorn pricks you, then for a Muslim there is khair. There is khair in whatever situation he or she is in, because it becomes a source of purification for him or her. But at the same time, notwithstanding the fact that there is mercy, there is purification, we have to realize that this happens because of our sins, right? We have to remove these sins from our lives, and we have to make tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send these diseases also as a punishment, and for that we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. In some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also make this a source of elevation, that Allah tests a person with certain diseases, with certain fear. نَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيِّمْ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a test by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise the status of those whom He loves. That's another elect group, that they are tested, but Allah simply wants to send this affliction upon them because Allah wants to raise their standards. Allah wants to raise their rank in Akhirah. They will have sabr, they will have endurance, they will have patience, they will have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of that will increase their rank. For other people like us, we are sinners, Allah may purify our sins. If you are committed, if you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah istighfar, then Allah ta'ala can use this as a way of purifying us of our sins. But if we don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes an affliction. Then it really becomes a punishment. If a person doesn't pay heed, they don't make tawbah, they continue in those practices of vulgarity, or immorality, fahashi, and behayai, and such things, then it really becomes an affliction. It becomes an affliction in this life, and it also becomes an affliction in the Akhirah. This becomes like a punishment from Allah, azab from Allah. And this azab then comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two ways. There are two ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an azab. First is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an azab and completely wipes away a whole community. A person, the whole community is wiped away. That used to happen to the previous ummah. Then azab came from the sky and the whole ummah would be destroyed in one go. Another way, a second way in which an azab can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what Allah mentions in the Quran, that there is an azab and then there will be azab-e-akbar that is going to happen afterwards, later on. And that azab-e-akbar can be akhirah. It can also be another azab, another punishment that can come later on in this worldly life. So before we get that second azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's important that we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, this is a sign, a moment of reflection, a sign from Allah to come back to Allah, to make tawbah of our sins, especially this sin of losing the haya of zina. And again, zina is not simply the ultimate act of zina. Zina is also zina of the eyes. These are all precursors of zina, are also part and parcels of zina. They're all doors which lead a person towards the ultimate act of zina. But even the zina, the Prophet said in hadith, that when a person misdirects their eyes, that's the zina of the eyes. We have the zina of the tongue, the zina of the limbs, and then you have the zina of the private parts. So this is a zina that many people are doing, not the ultimate, but this level, the precursors. And it's important that at this time we reflect, we do muhasabah of the sins that we are doing, and we turn to Allah in tawbah. It's a moment of reflection, a moment when we reflect on these signs of Allah that are around us. We make tawbah istighfar, and we come back to Allah. We return back to Allah. We again strengthen and try to improve our ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, if a person does that, then this becomes a spiritual purification. This becomes a spiritual purification for us. And these are moments, even though some of us might be, we may not understand all the wisdoms behind adversity, all the wisdoms behind hardships, but in the passing we witness that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We witness our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also realize how neglectful we have been of Allah and the commands of Allah. And this is a neglect of our soul, right? It's a neglect that we haven't really viewed the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. We haven't followed those commandments in our life. And that's the lesson of this time, that we realize how neglectful we have been, and we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Moments of such, you know, of difficulty like these, they teach us empathy. We realize we need to empathize with our own self first and foremost, and then empathize with other people. In reality, the true preparation we need at this time is a spiritual one. The washing that needs to be done is the washing of the heart. The purification that needs to be done is the purification of the heart. The quarantine we need to do is the quarantine of our egos, of our desire, of this nafs-e ammara, of this addiction to our sins. That's the real need of the time. Because that's the real source of these bala. That's the source of these waba. That's the source of these plagues and diseases. Our sins, our desires, our nafs, nafs-e ammara. That's the real preparation at this time. And that's why we need to work hard on these things. We need to wash our hearts. We need to wash our hearts with tawbah. Once a person asked that, "Ya Allah, how can I wash my heart? I can wash this cloth. I can wash this object. I can pour water. But my heart, how can I pour water on my heart?" Hadith, the Prophet said that when a person sins, a black spot comes in their heart. But then the way to wash our hearts is through tawbah. Tawbah is batini ghusl. It's a spiritual bath. It's a spiritual cleansing. Through the act of tawbah and istighfar, a person washes their heart. And in that same hadith, the Prophet ﷺ taught the same thing, the same principle, that when a person makes tawbah for their sins, then that sin is wiped away. It's clean from their book of deeds. It's the darkness goes away from their heart. So that is what we have to do. We have to purify our hearts and wash our hearts. And at the same time, while we are making tawbah, while we are making istighfar, we also have to do quarantine. And the quarantine, the real quarantine, is that we have to leave those desires of our nafs, those vulgar thoughts, those vulgar desires of our ego, of our nafs, those addiction that we have, of especially this sin, of vulgarity, of losing haya, misdirecting our gaze, and engaging in such acts, whether on the net or in terms in person in our daily life. We need to let go of this addiction, this zina, or the precursors of zina. And this requires, again, we doing mujahida and mukhalifa against our nafs. This requires to be in a state of remembrance. The person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more, so that a person is able to save themselves from the desires of this nafs. That person who does more remembrance of Allah, more zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be able to purify their heart. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ ثِقَالَةٌ, for every single thing there is a polish. ثِقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, and the polish of the heart is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to polish our heart, wash our heart, purify our heart, and if this heart becomes fixed, then inshallah our desires will be fixed, our thoughts will be fixed. And again, the dalil for this we get from Hadith Mubarakah. Again, the Prophet ﷺ said that within every human being there is an organ. إِذَا سَلُوحَتْ سَلُوحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that organ is sound, then that person will be sound, his thoughts will be sound, his actions will be sound, his desires will be sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if that organ becomes corrupt, then that person will become corrupt. Then we'll have corrupt imaginations, corrupt thinking, corrupt desires, unlawful desires, shaitani, shaivani, nafsani desires. A person has these desires because their heart is corrupt. So to pure Allah wahi al-qalb, and then the Prophet said that Allah, then know that the heart is that organ, the spiritual heart. So it means that the heart is the control room, the control center. If we can fix our heart, then we can fix our desires, we can fix our thoughts. And the way to fix our heart is that we do more and more zikr, because this is the polish of our heart. So we do more and more dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, we do more and more istighfar. Two things. These two things, inshallah, will help us purify our hearts. These two things, inshallah, will help us get rid of these unlawful desires and this addiction to sins. So this is the time that we should fall back on our deen and engage in more tawbah and engage in more zikr. Many people are looking at the world around them and there are lots of travel bans and there are temporary bans and permanent bans. But alhamdulillah, we can reflect, but we can also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, we want you to ban this sin from our life. The real ban that we need to have is this ban on sin. I don't want to commit any sin. And we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this task in such times. And the last thing is that there are certain du'as that all of us can recite that can help us and can save us from such diseases. And I'll mention those. There are several du'as, and you can get small booklets, and those booklets mention many long du'as and detailed du'as. But I'm going to mention three or four basic du'as which all of us, most of us might be familiar with. It's just a matter of reciting these du'as with yaqeen, with conviction, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the barak of these du'as to save us from all kinds of affliction and calamities. So the first du'as, the first thing that we can do is that we can recite Surah Falak and Surah Nas, the last two surahs, every day, and we recite this thrice and then blow it on our hands while we just wipe it over our body. This was the mustaqil ma'mool of the Prophet ﷺ, the mustaqil sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to the extent that in the last illness, when the Prophet ﷺ himself could not move and himself could not wipe the hands over his body, so Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was with the Prophet ﷺ, and she recited those two last two surahs, and then she blew it on the hands of the Prophet ﷺ, and then she carried the hands, the blessed hands of the Prophet ﷺ, over his blessed body. And this was the level of ihtimam, that even in the last illness, the Prophet ﷺ, he would prefer to recite these two surahs, Surah Falak and Surah Nas. And again, the reason why these two surahs are so beneficial is because of the meaning. If we ponder and reflect on the meaning, what are we saying? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. That I seek sanctuary, I come in the sanctuary, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek refuge in Allah from all the shar that has been created. From every single kind of shar. From every single kind of evil. Whatever evil exists out there. Whatever evil exists in creation. These germs are also creation, right? So we are making a comprehensive dua that Allah, I seek refuge in you from every single kind of shar that is out there, that has been created. So we should try to practice this every day, recite this on our own, blow it on our hands and then wipe our hands over our body. We can also do the same thing for our kids, for those who are not able to recite, we can recite on their behalf and then blow and wipe hands over their body. Inshallah, this will be a source of protection, something which all of us can do. Second is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that if anyone recites the following dua, they recite the following dua in the morning, he will not suffer any affliction till the evening. If anyone recites the following dua three times in the morning, they will not suffer any sudden affliction till the evening. And if a person recites this three times during the evening, then they will not suffer any affliction till the morning. So this is a dua which is morning and evening. What is that dua? Very simple dua. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي There are in the name of Allah لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. When whose name is mentioned, nothing on earth or in the heavens can cause any harm. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And Allah, He is the hearer, He is the all-hearer. Al-Alim, He is the all-knower. So we recite this three times in the morning and nothing will happen, no affliction. A person will not suffer any affliction till evening. And you recite this in evening three times and nothing will happen till the morning. Hazrat Aban radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the son of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was afflicted by some paralysis. And when a man who heard this hadith, he began to look at him, he said to him that, "Why are you looking at me? I swear by Allah, I did not tell a lie about Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, nor did Sayyidina Usman radiallahu tell a lie about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that day when I was afflicted by this, I became angry and I forgot to say this. I forgot to recite these kalimat." Well, that happens. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is this affliction which is supposed to come on a person, then a person forgets, right? And that's what happened. A person forgot to say these kalimat and that's why this disease came. So we should have a daily habit of reciting this dua, Bismillahilladhi. لا يضر ما اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Likewise, there is also another dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to say. أعوذ بكلمات الله تامات من شر ما خلق. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that when anyone lands at a place and they recite this dua, then nothing would be able to harm them until they move from that place. So again, a very simple dua. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. That I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. From the shar of what Allah has created. So whatever creation and whatever shar exists in any creation, I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the evil of what has been created. And when a person recites this, then nothing would be able to harm them. No harm will be able to reach them. Similarly, there also is another dua. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet ﷺ, he would never abandon these duas. And he would always supplicate, make these duas every morning and every evening. It's a long dua, but it's a very jami and a complete dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa. O Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. Wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. And I ask you for afiyat, for well-being in this world and in the hereafter. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. Then Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. That Allah, I ask you for forgiveness and well-being fi dini, in my religion, wa dunyaya, and in my worldly affairs, wa ahli, and in my family, wa mali, and in my wealth, my mal. Such a beautiful dua and so easy to remember. That Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal afiyah. Allah, I ask you for forgiveness and afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. Everything is covered. Allah, I'm asking you for well-being in my deen, my dunya, my family and my wealth. Subhanallah. And Allahumma stur awrati. Allahumma stur awrati. O Allah, conceal my faults. Wa amin rawati. And calm my fears. وَحَفَّظْنِي مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ and protect me from before me وَمِنْ خَلْفِي and behind me وَعَنْ يَمِينِي وَعَنْ شِمَالِي and protect me from my right side and my left side وَمِنْ فَوْقِي and protect me from above وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي and I seek refuge in you from being unaware, from being taken unaware from beneath me. So this is another very beautiful dua that Allah, I ask you Allahumma astur awrati, that you conceal my faults, wa amin rawati, that you calm my fears, wa hafazni, and that you do hifaza, you protect me, min bayni yaday, from in front of me, wa min khalfi, from behind me, wa an yamini, right, wa an shimali, from the left, wa min fawki, from above, and I seek refuge in you, that I be taken unaware from beneath me. So this is a very jame dua. If a person can remember this, and they can, the Prophet will never abandon these supplications, and he will make these duas every morning, every evening. And very jame, a person is able to get forgiveness and well-being in every aspect of his life. And I'll mention one more hadith mubarakah that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever sees someone who's afflicted, so we're living in, you know, you see someone who has a disease, has a virus, or you see someone who's afflicted in some other way. It doesn't necessarily have to be confined or limited to disease, any affliction. Whoever sees someone who's afflicted in any way and then makes the following dua, that person will be kept safe from that calamity no matter what it is. And what is that dua? Alhamdulillahi alladhi a'fani mimma btalaka bihi wa fadhalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdhila. Alhamdulillahi alladhi a'fani mimma btalaka bihi wa fadhalani kathiran min ibadihi tafdhila. Both variants are there. That all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has protected me from what he has tested you with. And Allah has favored me greatly within his servants. Rafadhalani, Allah has favored me greatly over his servants. So if a person recites this dua, then the Prophet ﷺ said that if you see someone afflicted and you pray, make this dua, then whatever affliction happens to be on the other person, you will be saved from it. You will be saved from it no matter what that affliction or calamity is. So alhamdulillah, we can make this dua. And we can make this dua and we can slightly change the words for someone who is afflicted with this condition and they're not in front of you. You can say, Alhamdulillahi allazi a'fani mimma btalahum bihi. Instead of mimma btalaka bihi, mimma btalahum bihi. Then all praise is due to Allah, who has protected me from what he has tested them with. وَفَضَلَنِي كَثِيرًا مِنْ عِبَادِهِ تَفْزِيلًا. And lastly, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was injured and when he was bleeding, he would make this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. And this is another dua that we can recite, inshallah. So inshallah, when a person makes these duas and they recite these du'as, then inshallah a person comes under the hifazat and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were a few things we wanted to mention today, and we make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to practice these teachings May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all kinds of afflictions and calamities. May Allah ta'ala protect our family members from such calamities and diseases. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the entire Muslim Ummah from such calamities and diseases. And for those who don't have this ni'mat of Iman, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a time of reflection for them and a source of hidayah for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of hidayah for humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His rahmah, with His mercy, with His blessings and fazl. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart for a few minutes. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world and make intention that, Ya Allah, You have said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that if You remember me, I will remember You. So, Ya Allah, we are making intention that we are remembering You inside of our heart, that our heart is silently, secretly saying, Allah, 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 and we are listening to this secret, silent remembrance of our heart. And Allah, we ask You that You shower your rahmah, Your hidayah, Your mercy and Your fazl upon our hearts. You purify our hearts of its filth, of its sins, and our heart in gratitude and shukr is calling upon Your ism-e-azam, ism-e-jalala, Allah, as if my heart is secretly, silently saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Make dua. Subhana rabbil al wahab, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْهُدَى وَالتُّقَى وَالْعَفَافَ وَالْغِنَى اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله. يا الله, اللهم إني أسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها, اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها, اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.